Hello, KBOO listeners. I'm super excited to have Zia Leboff on the Old Mole Variety Hour today. Welcome to KBOO, Zia.
Thank you. Excited to be here.
Zia has been an activist for a number of years, but specifically got involved in organizing through her time at Portland State University with the PSU Student Union. She is Jewish and has helped organize a number of actions through the Portland chapter of Jewish Voice for Peace, also known as JVP, to pressure local officials to call for a permanent ceasefire in Gaza. So, Zia, could you tell me a bit about where your organizing for Palestine really began?
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you for that intro. I started organizing around the summer of 2018, and it was with someone who I met through the Portland State Student Union, Alana Goldman, who is an incredible Jewish activist as well, and was just kind of like, hey, I'm looking for other anti-Zionist Jews to get a chapter of JVP started at PSU campus to just create more of space for Jews who are not down with Israel, which there are quite a good many of us. And in that moment, it was really just like the perfect timing in my life for many reasons of like having had some really intense dealings with Zionist family that had come to a head and like, made some space in that summer. And so it felt like a very aligned moment. And I was like, yeah, I'm down. And specifically, my past experience of being at PSU, being involved my freshman year with the Jewish Student Union and feeling as soon as I started to question and critique Zionism, feeling that was a space that wasn't welcoming to me anymore. And so really having come full circle from my freshman year to now that's my senior year, being like, wow, okay, this is the moment. And I learned so much through that process of doing my first work with JVP. And in many ways, I see JVP as one of my first organizing homes because it was one of the first places that I helped create kind of a structure and a space for and tried to bring other people into. So I just have so much appreciation for JVP and so much appreciation for how that work with JVP put me in community with so many incredible like Palestinians, Jews, and other allies, accomplices for Palestine.
So one of the things that we've seen recently after October 7th is last fall, the PSU students, they began organizing against Boeing again. And could you tell me a little bit about your experience at PSU in a similar campaign where Boeing was the target and why they were the target?
Yeah, so when I was at PSU in 2016, there was a very controversial, I guess is the word, resolution that came through the PSU student government. And at that moment in time, I was very involved with ASPSU, Associated Students of Portland State University. I was a senator and then started in spring of 2016 and continued into the fall of 2016, where it was actually voted on. That resolution was actually not as focused on Boeing. It was focused on calling for PSU to sever connections with any organizations that profit from human rights violations against Palestinians. And like, I believe the main four companies that were being called out in that resolution were actually Caterpillar, Motorola, HP, and G4S. So those were the main four. But Boeing absolutely falls in line with the same thing of like companies involved with Israeli military occupation. And so I think I'm really glad that that resolution is being used as a little bit of precedent for the really impactful work that Students United for Palestinian Equal Rights at PSU is doing now, because I think it's really important to highlight the ways that the spaces that we occupy have complicity, especially by working with these very complicit companies, because I believe PSU is they have a program that feeds into Boeing, like a PSU supply chain for Boeing. And I think that that is really just the opposite of PSU likes to talk about having so much progressive values, but in actuality, is very complicit with many structures of oppression, as we've seen from their armament of campus police and who they want to do business with and just who is on their board of trustees. This is kind of the theme for my entire 4 years at PSU. But I think that, yeah, I just really want to uplift and encourage people to go support Super and read more about the campaign that they're pushing forward and also read more about the ways that right now, PSU is trying to publicly condemn them and is trying to put a lot of restrictions on their organizing and discipline students of color who are speaking out and in really unjust ways. So I know that they have a petition going around right now to speak out and encouraging all alumni of PSU to do so, as well as just community members in general, because PSU loves to talk about how it's like, I forget what the slogan is, led by the community for the community, but that doesn't always show up in the action. So I think it's really important for the larger Portland community to show up and support these students who are doing really important work and continuing work that's been happening through Super for many years now.
Well, it seems like that repression could be really dangerous, especially considering, like, we've discussed a bit about the effect of being involved in these campaigns had on you. And you discussed a little bit about just how hearing public testimony from the other side of, like, non-Zionist or anti-Zionist groups was really
Yeah.
important. Could you elaborate just a little bit on, like, what that effect was?
I really see it as one of the turning points in my education around this issue because before I came to PSU, I was definitely someone who was not raised in a overwhelmed, like my father is not a Zionist, and I wouldn't call my grandparents either, who were my strongest Jewish influences in my life, but my extended family is. And so they kind of domineered holidays. And when I came to PSU, I definitely had some like healthy criticisms of Israel already, but not fully educated on everything. And moving to a city where I didn't know anyone, one of the first places I was brought into community through one person I met was the Jewish Student Union. And I was like, wow, what an incredible community space. I'm like on my own for the first time, kind of adrift. And like, here are all these people who are so welcoming. You know, I'm getting taken to these really nice dinners where there's free food, and I'm getting taken to these organizing retreats on the Oregon coast. And wow, it feels so community. And then slowly I started to realize all these people who are leadership of the Jewish Student Union are also now starting this group called the Cultural Historical Association for Israel. I don't know about that, but because that was the community space I have, I felt, I think there was a lot of ways that I was very much like just, you know, overtaken by the Zionism of the space and like how that was so well like woven into Judaism. And I was just like, wow, I feel like so connected to community and like all these things. And so I was kind of like blinded in many ways to the harm. And it wasn't until that's fall era, winter era, and then spring of that year was when the divestment resolution took place and or started. And I just seeing the reaction, like that was my first time being in student government, seeing the reaction of some of these Jewish student leaders who are also in the pro-Israel group was so intense. The amount of background work they were doing of trying to see all of these different people on student government and how they were going to vote, I was like, whoa, this feels like some very intense level politics for student government at a public university. And then they were really pressuring me to vote against the resolution, of course. And at first, I was kind of like, oh, okay, well, like, I'm hearing all these things of why you think that, and I care about you, and you're like my closest friend, like, of course. And then it wasn't until the process, as a backstory, like, no one came to student government meetings. No one really like was showing up to give public comment at all. And then for those divestment resolution meetings, 2 hours of public comment each time. And it would go back and forth. Like there was a list of people who had signed up pro and a list of people who were signed up against. And the way they had it was literally like back and forth. And I think that that was really powerful because seeing the thought, the justification, the argument put back to back like that was so overwhelmingly obvious that it was essential to be doing divestment work and that it was very much in line with all of my other values to be doing divestment work. And it really like cracked the shell of Zionism that had been put on me through this Jewish community. And I was like, wait, I don't think I can vote against this, guys. Like, I think that this is actually really in line and important work to be doing. And as soon as I started to critique that, I felt very unwelcomed in that space anymore. And I've heard similar things from other people that I've connected with who I met through that time and started to crit and I was like, why did you drop off? Did you drop off because you were discouraged from saying anything that critiqued Israel? And they were like, yeah. And so we've had a couple of moments of that. And so I think that public testimony is a really powerful vessel for bringing forth a lot of understanding and education. And so I think when, if universities are trying to quell that, it's definitely a very dangerous practice because that is one of the most, there was one of the most true like instances of a public forum that I've ever seen and been a part of. And it had very foundational impact for me. And I think that that's something that people have to see in general with how Zionism works is that Zionism has so thoroughly stolen from and weaponized Judaism that it's really hard for many to start to do that unlearning process if their whole community is still in that belief. Like it was a challenging thing. Like I lost my strongest place of community that I had found on PSU campus and kind of had to do some rebuilding. But luckily, I was involved with student government where I got to meet some really incredible people that went through that same process with me, and I rebuilt my community with people whose values were aligned with mine and also helped further educate me and teach me more. And so I think that it's hard for people to understand about how that unlearning process goes. But I think when I've talked to other anti-Zionist Jews, for so many of us, it's very different things that help that dispelling all of these really, really firmly entrenched Zionist propaganda. Like I always say, all US citizens receive a ton of propaganda to be pro-Israel, and US Jews receive like triple the amount. It's just in every space. It's in every, in many, many Jewish communities and many, many like institutions. And so it takes a lot of work and it's a hard unlearning process, but it's so important because it's how we find the true values of Judaism, because the true values of Judaism are so far from Zionism. I think they're in direct opposition personally.
Your experience just reminds me so much of the movie Israelism, which we've talked about on KBOO before, and it's a really great depiction of just like what it's like trying to escape that veil of Zionism and how it almost seems like it can be like one thing that really changes that for people, but you're not necessarily searching that out. In that
Yeah, exactly.
context, how do you feel about the role that you play as a Jewish person in the movement for a free Palestine?
The way that I've shortly summed it up is I think the role right now for anti-Zionist Jews is both organizing Jews and organizing as Jews. And those are two separate but like very intrinsically tied work. And I think organizing as Jews is showing up in solidarity with the Palestinian leadership. It's very infuriating to me that people can't just hear it from Palestinians, that it's not anti-Semitic to be critiquing Israel, that it's not anti-Semitic to look at this state that is clearly militarized and enacting apartheid and enacting all these systems of oppression and just understand why that needs to be critiqued. It's very infuriating, and there's a lot of undertones of Islamophobia and racism for why people can't just hear that from Palestinians. But I do think that is our part of our role as anti-Zionist Jews to show up and amplify the demands of Palestinians to be like, these demands are not anti-Semitic. These demands are what it looks like to seek justice. And so I think that kind of said it, Zionism has absolutely weaponized anti-Semitism to condemn people from speaking out and condemn people from just critiquing Israel's genocidal actions. And so I think part of our role is to publicly refute that and say, no, anti-Zionism is not anti-Semitism. And I think part of our role is also to provide the counter to a lot of Zionist entrenched Jewish organizations that are continuing to do the same thing of distracting from what's happening in the genocide that we are currently watching unfold and kind of distracting with anti-Semitism, which is deeply infuriating because anti-Semitism is alive and well, and it's largely being perpetuated by the far right. That's the space that I have seen anti-Semitism in. I've never encountered anti-Semitism in pro-Palestine organizing spaces. And I think that Zionist institutions are trying to distract from Israel's atrocities by being like, no, look over here at anti-Semitism. And it's a tactic that's been used for decades. And so part of our work is showing up and saying, like, this is not anti-Semitism, like I was we're currently seeing with some local campaigns around the Portland public schools, where it's incredible the work that educators and students are doing to challenge Portland public schools to be more aligned with actual education and divestment and what their students are calling for. And then we're also seeing the Jewish Federation condemning that. And so I think it's important for us to be, you know, so many people look to that organization as like the voice of Jews in Portland. And we know that they're not. We know that they are a voice, but they are in no way representative of larger Jewish community in Portland. From their own survey that they took last year, a majority of Jews in Portland do not identify as Zionist. And so it's really important for us to be able to show up in solidarity with the campaign demands of pro-Palestine organizations and being like, this is important. This is not anti-Semitism. Do not use that as a tactic to distract from the important work that they're trying to do.
So it's obvious there's quite a few criticisms of the Palestinian rights movement. There seem to be a few key phrases that people like to focus on, such as from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free, calls for an intifada, or the phrase by any means necessary. How do you understand these calls at rallies and then the criticisms from either your opposition or even people within like JVP?
I see the calls as calls for justice and as calls for liberation. And I see the critiques by and large as distractions, mostly employed by Zionists or, you know, people who are just still in their journey of unlearning Zionism and have a hard time fully dissecting that. Because I think the from the river to the sea debate is so ridiculous, because the phrase itself is truly just calling for Palestinian freedom from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea. It is a representation of calling for Palestinian freedom and for calling for equal rights, calling for freedom for all the people who live between those two landmarks. It literally just says, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. That is calling for freedom in that entire section. And I think that it's just yet another Zionist diversion from what is actually at stake. It's just like they're like, oh, don't critique Israel. Look at what they're saying. Look at how anti-Semitic it is. And so it's truly ridiculous, and it would be laughable if it wasn't deeply harmful in the ways that people have been truly like roasted over the coals for it over and over again, especially when it's anyone who says it who's, I mean, even they will critique Jews and call us self-hating Jews. But especially when anyone else says it, they are absolutely called anti-Semitic and oppressive and all these things. And if anything, I think it says more about the people that hear that phrase and think that it means eradicating an entire people. If you hear a phrase calling for justice and liberation and freedom, and you're like, that means killing everyone else, I think that says more about you, and that says more, and by you I mean the Zionists that are largely propagating that. It's like, oh, well, that's kind of just showing your hand. Like, that's kind of just showing how Israel would blast that phrase, and how for them, freedom has meant the eradication of another people. But that is so far from what Palestinian texts and Palestinian leaders have ever said. And so, if anything, I just think it shows the genocidal undercurrents of Zionism that they see that phrase as calling for eradicating Jews rather than calling for freedom.
And then, could you tell me a bit about your recent successful actions with the Multnomah County Board of Commissioners and just with those critics, how you deal with certain disruptions as an organizer?
So it's always interesting being in a space like that where it's a public forum. Anyone can come, anyone can speak and give public comment at a Multnomah County board meeting, which is what I've learned over the last couple of months. And I think for me, the biggest wins of that was really around the community that was built and around the coalitions that were built doing that work. It's challenging to under it can feel, and I mean, in a lot of ways, it was Symbolic, but because obviously Multnomah County calling for a ceasefire is not going to immediately change the situation and conditions on the ground in Gaza. But I think it is important to add more local municipalities to the growing list to continually put pressure on our federal government and to show, especially in an election year, that by and large, there's so much of our population and of our voting constituents that want to see Israel held accountable for what's happening and are going to continue calling out the US government for being complicit. It's a challenging piece because you know that a local government resolution is never going to hold language that is up to the same par of politic that I would want to see. And I think the process of electoral politics is very challenging because you get worn down over time and just accept breadcrumbs. And so I am proud of the work that we did to continue pressuring for a resolution that didn't include Zionist talking points, like a two-state solution, like condemnations of Hamas. I think it's really important that that language wasn't in there because I think as the largest local government in Oregon to put out a ceasefire resolution, that this one will be a template or the setting point for other resolutions in the area. So it was really important that that language wasn't in there. And overall, I think it's important that we find ways to mobilize locally and we think about the ways that we can have impact in our local communities, even around these international issues. That can be a really challenging piece. And so I think there'll be many more campaigns similarly brought forth by many organizations. But also, as we've been talking about with public testimony, I think that that was a really impactful part of it. And some of the commissioners spoke to that. I don't know how much it actually has an impact beyond what they say with their words, because they're politicians. But I think that we organized a lot of incredibly powerful voices to come forward and speak. And I'm so glad that those people did, because I think that that was, I hope that that had a similar impact as it did for me many years ago, of how it really was a radicalizing moment for me. And I think that based on the testimony and the impact that we saw in the crowd and on the commissioners, that showing up in such strong numbers in force as being pro-Palestine community in Portland had an impact. And I think especially when you compare it to the disruptive reactions, I don't know, I could count on my hand how many Zionist testimonies there were in comparison to the like dozens and dozens of powerful pro-Palestine testimony. And I think that's an important comparison that was made.
Well, thank you so much for your time, Zia. It was really great to hear about your experience as an organizer, and I'm sure people who are getting into this can take a lot from it. And I was just wondering, where should people look if they want to stay up to date on actions?
Thank you so much. And I really appreciate having time to chat and time to kind of talk about the different ways and elements of how we can all be uplifting the demands of Palestinians and continuing just to keep focus on what's happening. It's really hard, I think. And there's so much apathy because people are overwhelmed to stay engaged, but it's so important now more than ever to stay engaged. And I think there's a lot of great ways to do so. There's so many incredible organizations doing work right now. I often direct people to the Instagram account PDX for a Free Palestine, four as the number four, because that account has been regularly updating every pro-Palestine event that is happening locally. And I think that's a great way to stay engaged with. And, they'll shout out different organizations and then follow those organizations. I organize with JBB Portland, encourage people to follow there. Also, the Oregon to Palestine Coalition. Zaytuna is an incredible organization. Swana Rose. There's so many different spaces that people can keep engaged with, but all of
Lots of
those get
options.
shouted out on the PDX for Free Palestine Instagram. So I often direct people there because I think it's a great resource and appreciate those folks trying to keep all of us engaged.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much again for being on the show today, Zia. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. It was great.